have to press record before I start the music. Welcome back to Coach Class with me, Dom Birch. This is the podcast where I get to speak to inspirational leaders and coaches from across the world. And I'm delighted this week to be joined by Nick Jones. Nick is the Chief Executive Officer, the CEO of Joules. He joined in 2019. Prior to that, he'd been at George, at Asda. He'd been at Asda for a number of years, and also at Marks & Spencer. We might touch that a little bit as we go. Nick is now leading a team which are, I guess, half in the office, Nick, are they? Or half out the office or mainly on Zoom? I mean, welcome to Coach Class. Anyway, how are you doing?
Yeah, hi, Dom. Yeah, great to see you again. Yes, I am managing a team that have been, as everybody else has been, remote pretty much permanently for the last 14 months and actually will continue to work very flexibly in the months and years in front of us, I think. So yeah, certainly our way of working as a business has evolved quite considerably over the last 14 to 15 months, which I'm sure we can touch on. But as you say, I joined back in 2019, end of 2019, actually. So it's been a bit of a few months in, walking into the reality of the pandemic and what that was meant. It's certainly made it for an eventful and very interesting start to my career at Joules.
you've definitely had a tumultuous couple of years. What brings you to Joules then? Like, let's just go back a little bit. You know, what was your journey to becoming Chief Executive Joules? What were the little momentous moments, I guess, as you look back on your career? How did it start and how did you end up here?
Yeah, good question. So I spent 15 years at Marks & Spencer, various different roles, principally in commercial functions, but also spent 5 years in the corporate area, investor relations, supporting the CEO and the chairman in different roles, sort of from a development point of view. And, you know, had a great time and learned an enormous amount at M&S, but was clear in my mind that I didn't want to be there forever, not because I didn't enjoy it, but I wanted to be stretched and challenged and find out genuinely whether I could operate more effectively, learn more by being in another organization. So I left M&S after 15 years, had the opportunity to join Asda. Once I joined Asda, realized I'd joined Walmart as well. So that added for me, a very positive dimension to the decision. Spent 10 years or just 9 years, sorry, at Asda in various roles. As you say, MD of George, ran the whole commercial function for the last 18 months, food, GM and clothing, and left in July of 2019, really because of the opportunity that being ultimately a CEO of a growing business with exciting opportunities and that had the added dimension of being a PLC, for me was too good an opportunity to miss. Lots and lots of fond memories of both Asda and M&S, and probably in reality Asda more so in terms of how it helped define me or helped me appreciate so the ingredients of leadership, sometimes beyond the obvious, has stood with me for some time.
And I guess we pick things up, don't we, good and bad. And I don't mean we pick up the bad things, but we might observe how people behave or how they lead or how they inspire their others. And you kind of pick out the good bits and put them in your backpack. What were the things, I guess, from M&S? And I guess you were around people like, you know, some retail legends like Stuart Rose, real kind of like characters. But also, I guess, back in a time where I would imagine Marks and Spencer still had multiple floors, and the higher you went up in the lift, the plusher the carpet pile was.
Yeah, I mean, I worked for 5 years in the corporate area, and I worked along the same floor as Luke and Roger, who were the CEO and chairman at the time, and worked directly for them. So, yeah, I experienced the luxury of the carpet and the quality of the crockery. So if you take someone like a Stuart, I think the ingredients that he had, it was one, clarity of plan and keeping things simple and focused. But I think most importantly, understood the culture of M&S and how therefore to create an environment and conditions for what was a very solid plan to be delivered. And it was that understanding, I think, of the human side of the brand, the importance of that connection with colleagues across all parts of the business that defined his success, I think, relative to others. It wasn't necessarily a very different plan. It was just delivered in a very different way.
And it sort of, I mean, I wasn't at Asda at the time of Alan Layton and Archie Norman, but it sort of had that kind of hallmark, that era of M&S, a real sense of kind of people knowing where the organisation was going. And therefore, you had this kind of like extra amazing army, this workforce of people all kind of pulling and pushing in the same direction. Did you experience that? Is that real, or is that just sort of how it felt from the outside looking in?
Yeah, definitely. I think that creation of energy about a common purpose, that there's a momentum that you almost can't put your finger on what it is, but suddenly everybody's moving in the right direction or in the same direction. And it's interesting to your point on Archie and Alan. I mean, I never had the opportunity to even meet them, let alone work for them when they were at Asda, subsequently have. But what's interesting and fascinating, when I was at Asda, I'd ask people about, you know, talk to me about it. What was it all about? Nobody ever mentioned the results. Only people mentioned how it felt and those touch points that created that. It's the small stories that were so significant, because it was how people felt or how they remember feeling that put the smile on their face, not whether the business went from X to Y. It was just this journey everybody was on. And I think that's one of the, you know, sort of the ingredients of real success is, you forget the tangible measures and remember the intangible experience.
So let's fast forward then and skip out Asda a little bit, but, you know, let's go there for one. But just obviously now you're working at Juul's, and I guess with Tom Juul is the founder, but he's also chief brand officer. So you're kind of in this PLC environment, but also there with the guy who was there from the start.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that must bring its own challenges, but also it must be great being involved where there's that kind of purpose from the start is still there helping drive the organization forward.
Yeah, I mean, look, so Tom was the founder of the business. He's still involved. He's not full-time. He's 2 days a week. We spend a lot of time together. And I think a combination of his passion, but also the clarity that he and other members of the team have brought to the brand, because ultimately Juul's is all about being a brand, has meant that the DNA and the ingredients that he started with 30 plus years ago are still so obvious and clear today. So one of the things that makes Juul's such an exciting brand, I believe, is the clarity in which it knows what it stands for, and it's never deviated away from that, hasn't tried to reinvent itself. And Dom, you'd know it, and I know it from what's in different sort of parts of different businesses. Sometimes you can find yourself spending an enormous amount of time trying to work out who you are, let alone where you're going to go. And that clarity makes a big, big difference in a brand and a business like ours.
Now, Nick, you strike me, just saying those words, you strike me as somebody who's always got a sense of who you are and where you're heading, and you've been quite, I guess, single-minded, haven't you, and ambitious, and ended up at quite a young age leading, you know, a major brand with shops all around the place, going through this kind of tumultuous period in retail where physical shops are challenged, dot-com retail is, you know, here and everywhere and all the rest of it, and then of course a pandemic hits. Where do you reach down then into your reserves? What is it that kind of fires you up? And I know you're quite into your cycling and you're a sporty kind of guy. What is, you know, where do you get that drive from? What where does it come from? How does it power you forward?
So for me, it's always been around being motivated and excited by where you're going as a business and wanting to be part of that journey. Critically importantly is that your values are shared. So one of the things that struck me so strongly, I hadn't appreciated until I joined, was the importance of values both within Asda and within Walmart, and that it lived by them. And that for me is massively important, that you don't say one thing and do something else. So I think you get a lot of energy from that. And I personally get a huge amount of energy from that. The other bit for me, I think that pushes me forward is I really enjoy learning and understanding, I guess, how I react positively and negatively, different situations and different scenarios. But unless you go and find out, you'll never know. So I think for me, it's that approach to wanting to continue to learn and understand more. Connectivity with people is massively important. So I've always worked in businesses where it's about the people that make the difference. And for me, in terms of energy, I get a lot of my energy from talking to, spending small amounts of time with lots of people in the organization and sort of sharing stories and sharing our excitement. And that was quite challenging for me over the last 12, 14 months, because you've got to find ways of doing that from a virtual perspective when walking the floors of the building or catching up somebody up for a cup of tea is so easy to do when you're all sitting around in the same location. And I miss that. So I miss that connection. But I guess the excitement of where we're going more than made up for that. And it's nice now for me to be in a situation where to some degree you can have the best of both worlds, but you've still got that time to reflect and think, when you're not necessarily immersed in a physical building, but yet now we're able to spend time where, when appropriate, sort of in broader teams, that connectivity again. But yeah, I think my energy comes from kind of willingness and appetite to learn, and generally not mind if I make a mistake. Deal with it if I make a mistake.
Yeah, I can imagine you don't like making mistakes. But I mean, so you're sat there in the new offices, aren't you, over the road? And I remember when we came down to see you a year or two ago at Jules, and they were being built over the road, and it must have been like exciting making those plans. And then, of course, best laid plans, along comes a pandemic. But you'd made the decision, and you've stuck with this new office. And I guess we're just at that point, aren't we, where things are beginning to open up. What's that new world going to look like? How are you going to harness the best of what we've found that we can do? Because I think we've all sort of, I don't know, been pleasantly surprised that actually some of this video conferencing stuff is all right, actually. There's loads of stuff around it that we miss. You know, as you mentioned, going for a cup of tea and bumping into each other, reading the room, just having those off camera conversations. How are you planning to lead the building and lead the culture, I guess, of the organization with this kind of blended, flexible approach to work? You know, this is something we've never had to do before. Are you going to take a lead on this kind of stuff, or how are you figuring it out?
Yeah, I mean, I think as a business we are. So we've learned a lot over the last 15 months. We've learned that we can create product, design product, acquire a business, grow a digital marketplace rapidly, open shops, close shops, but do it all virtually. So we've learned a huge amount, and we want to keep that learning and understanding going. So whilst we're in a brand new building, it's the first time we've been in a building together since 2008 or 9, I think it was, the last time everybody was under one roof from a central function perspective. So it's a significant change from that point of view. But we're adopting a fully flexible approach. So it's up to the colleague to decide the balance they want to have between remote working and working in the office or working in the office environment. Totally up to them. Work it through as a team. And I think we'll learn as we go over the next 3 to 4 months, but we're not being prescriptive one way or the other. We want it really importantly to work for the colleague. And alongside that, we've learned that we could be a lot more flexible about working hours, making sure work fits into people's broader life. And I think we've seen the productivity and effectiveness goes up when you're not asking people to have to juggle stuff, because that's always been the way, actually listening and understanding, okay, right, we can do something different. Yeah, so we don't have meetings. We have core hours in terms of the meetings. They only run between 10 and 4 to give people the opportunity to have a bit more flex either end of the day, either thinking time, one-to-ones, or it might be something like walking the dog or taking your kids to school. But a meeting at work is not going to get in the way of it. So we've learned a huge amount. I'm really excited about it. I think we are more efficient because of working virtually. And there's been greater levels, I think, of empowerment in teams, which is really important for us and for me personally, that people are able to get on with it. But now having the opportunity also to balance that out with time to have those smaller conversations for teams to come together in a physical environment when needed, I think will just be, you know, you've kind of got the best of both worlds going forward. I'd certainly never want to go backwards to being a business or a brand that was enforcing everybody to come back into an office. I think I think you step back rather than step forward if you do that.
And as you look forward over the next, you know, 6-12 months, let's not get too carried away with the crystal ball in this world that we live in, but what are your hopes for the future?
If I look at it from a colleague perspective, so in terms of how we feel as a business, we've got much stronger connectivity, interesting, with the store colleagues because everybody was virtual. So that's really important, that there isn't this divide between teams that work in central locations and those that work out in the physical estate. And we've got an international business in terms of teams in Shanghai, teams in the US. I want to make sure that everybody feels like they're in it together. So that, I think, will be important over the next 6 to 12 months. Finding the balance between that remote and then the remote working, the working in the office, particularly around creativity, and doing it in a way that is kind of not prescriptive, but more organic. So I've got high expectations that as we come to the end of this calendar year, we'll have found our rhythm and we'll know what good looks like for us in terms of opportunity. And then I think, you know, if I look at it from a personal perspective or somebody in a position of leadership, I'm really looking forward to being able to spend the right amount of time on the long term and thinking really about where we want to grow for the next 3, 5, 7+ years, rather than where we were 12 months ago, which was consumed by the next day. And, you know, it was good because we all sharpened up and stuff, but you were operationally obsessed with getting through or what you needed to do to deal with the next week, the next month. And I want to make sure we're obsessed with dealing with the here and now, but spending time being excited and sufficient time being excited about what our future plans are and putting those in place. So getting that balance back in terms of long-term perspective and time on the long term is an important part for me over the next 6 to 12 months.
Well, listen, well done for steering the ship through the last 15, 16 months. I'm sure you've had a few sleepless nights and you've managed to retain a head of hair, which is laudable. It's commendable, absolutely commendable. It's been great catching up, Nick. I look forward to coming down to see you in your new pad when we're allowed to. Thank you so much for coming on to Coach Class.
Brilliant. Thank you, Dom. Great to see you again. And whilst I might have kept it, I've definitely got a lot grayer over the last 15 months, which I'm not that happy about.
All right, thanks, Nick. Take care.
See you later. Bye-bye.